It's the most important week of the year for the Federal Liberal Party.
Karen Phelps is the big threat for the Liberal Party at the crucial Wentworth by-election.
People are saying that they want a game changer. People are saying bring it on.
This is going to be a very tough seat for us to hold.
This Saturday, the 103,000 people registered to vote in the Sydney electorate of Wentworth get to do two things. Choose a replacement for Malcolm Turnbull and decide if Scott Morrison gets to hold on to majority government or has to preside over a hung parliament.
If the Liberals lose Wentworth, the government loses its one-seat majority.
I'm not fussed by it at all. I'm not distracted by it, and Australians wouldn't expect me to be distracted by it.
For new Prime Ministers, by-elections are always high stakes. But Wentworth is also high cost. The Liberal Party is throwing everything at retaining the seat, including huge amounts of money and even some unexpected foreign policy. From the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tory Maguire. Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Please Explain. Joining us this week is the Herald's state political editor, Alexandra Smith, and in our Parliament House Bureau in Canberra, Federal Editor Bevan Shields. Welcome to the pod.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Later we'll talk to Lydia Khalil from the Lowy Institute about the unexpected Wentworth-related decision by the government to consider moving our embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And this.
So, traditionally been a conservative voter, but at this point I listened intently and still undecided which way I'll vote.
We spent a rainy afternoon with voters down in Bondi, the battleground of the by-election this week. But let's start with you, Bevan. Remind us why we're all so focused on 38 square kilometres of prime Sydney real estate.
Well, Tory, we're really here because the Liberal Party thought it would be a good idea to throw Malcolm Turnbull out of the prime ministership. And they did that despite him very clearly warning people for many months before that, that in his view, the moment he stopped being prime minister, he'd also stop being the member for Wentworth. So people knew this was coming for a long time, but I think few people realised or properly appreciated that they could potentially lose this seat. So this is a real life example of what people here often refer to as the, you know, the transactional costs of leadership changes and leadership turmoil. And you really don't get a better example of that than what's about to happen on Saturday. You don't want to overblow it, but it's absolutely correct to say that the fate of the government could potentially depend on this result, because a loss in Wentworth would have a really damaging impact on the coalition. It'd be a very devastating verdict on Scott Morrison's leadership. It would be a big indication that the government is going to struggle in the general election next year to appeal to moderate and progressive voters, and it would wipe out the government's one-seat majority. Now, that doesn't mean the government would fall, but it does mean we'd be in hung parliament territory, and that would be a really terrible signal from Canberra, because it just adds to this, you know, general vibe out there in the electorate that this government's sort of a bit of a shambles and it's unstable and it's very busy propping itself up rather than doing its job.
So if it is a hung parliament, what technically does that mean?
It means that the Prime Minister will have to negotiate with crossbenchers to guarantee supply. So he'll have to the Governor General will have to be satisfied that the government can command a majority on the floor of the House of Representatives for important bills, particularly supply bills, so the budget, and that it can survive a vote of no confidence. Now, the government should be able to survive that, and all it will take is for one Liberal MP to be having a snooze at their desk when there's a critical vote on, and all the crossbenchers to vote with the government, and they could lose a very key vote, and that could potentially be grounds for a snap election.
So, Alex, the stakes are incredibly high. You've been covering this from the beginning. Malcolm Turnbull was a very popular local member. He had a huge margin, I think 17% he held that seat by. How much of that do you think was personal to Malcolm Turnbull, and how much of it do you think will transfer to the Liberal candidate, Dave Sharma?
Well, I think lots of that really high personal vote was all down to Malcolm Turnbull being very, very popular in Wentworth. All the time, people, you know, his supporters describe him as our beloved Malcolm. And there is no doubt the longer he stayed in the seat, the more popular he became. I think also what that means is because of the way in which he was deposed, people are really angry. So there is no doubt that people who really, really backed Malcolm, who loved him, who thought he was, you know, the best member for Wentworth, are not automatically going to keep their votes with the Liberals. They're not going to, that's not going to transfer to the Liberal candidate, Dave Sharma, because people are really angry. And I think a lot of people, and this is the Liberals' biggest threat in Wentworth, a lot of people feel that they want to punish the Liberal Party for what they did to Malcolm.
So let's talk about the Liberal candidate, Dave Sharma. He was Australia's ambassador to Israel. His pre-selection to be the candidate in this seat was not as straightforward as a lot of people would like. You both covered the pre-selection battle. How did it come about? Malcolm Turnbull backed Dave Sharma, but for a long time he was not the front runner, was he?
No, he wasn't. When it became clear that week when Malcolm Turnbull was overthrown as Prime Minister, some names started to emerge. Dave Sharma was one name, but there was also Andrew Bragg, and Andrew Bragg was who Malcolm Turnbull was originally backing. Then it got interesting because some polling emerged that was said to have come from Andrew Bragg that showed that he couldn't win the seat. The only way the Liberals would hold onto the seat would be if a female candidate ran. Once that polling was around and reported, and nobody, it's important, I guess, to note that nobody actually saw the polling, so we just have to assume that it said that, then Andrew Bragg pulled out of the race. So then we were left in this really interesting situation where you had some female candidates who were clearly going to run based and felt that they were going to get there based on this polling.
And Scott Morrison picked one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. What he did was he made it clear to his supporters and internally that he wanted a female, and there was really one female that was going to be his pick. He never publicly endorsed her, but he certainly got his people to get behind Catherine O'Regan, and she was then perceived as the captain's pick, as Scott Morrison's choice. Even if he didn't publicly say it, it was no doubt that that's who he wanted. Then, though, Dave Sharma, despite some urgings from party power brokers who said, look, pull out of the race now, your time will come later, you don't even live in Wentworth, we will find you something else, stuck to his guns and sort of felt that it would make him look weak if he pulled out. He'd shown his hand, he'd intended to run, and he stuck by that. So then it became a really tight contest where people assumed, though, that because the Prime Minister had stepped in and had put his foot down and said it's going to have to be a female, that Catherine O'Regan would get there. But in the very dying days of the pre-selection race, literally hours before the Liberal Party members were to meet, two interesting things happened. First of all, it emerged that John Howard had told Dave Sharma to stand his ground, don't pull out of the race. And then that was followed up by a phone call from New York from Malcolm Turnbull and Lucy Turnbull, who got on FaceTime and said to Dave Sharma, run. So, of course, straight away that was seen as an endorsement from the Turnbulls. You had obviously a very powerful endorsement from John Howard, and Dave Sharma ran and in the end won. Interestingly, won quite easily. But Catherine O'Regan, Scott Morrison's pick, wasn't even in the race in the end. She was knocked out very early. She didn't come close to winning that pre-selection.
So, Bevan, was this a political defeat for the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison?
It was, but not an embarrassing public one, because he never went out publicly and said, I'm backing Catherine O'Regan. It was, as Alex says, it was very clear that his numbers men were whipping the votes for her. So internally it was. But, I mean, I think it was a great history that Alex just mentioned, just went through there, but they did get the best candidate in the end, I think. And I think they really dodged a bullet in not picking Catherine O'Regan, because it turns out that she was once a member of the Labor Party many years ago. And most people might think, well, so what, you know, that doesn't matter. People can change their stripes, but that matters, because probably the government's most effective line of attack against Karen Phelps is that Karen is a de facto Labor candidate. You know, Labor and Karen are working together to get Karen up. And that would have been a very hard argument for the Liberal Party to mount if their own candidate was once a member of the Labor Party.
Let's talk about Karen Phelps, because there's a Melbourne Cup field of candidates, but really in this race there's only two. The biggest threat to Dave Sharma, and she's a really serious threat, is Karen Phelps. Who is she?
Absolutely, yeah, she definitely is the biggest threat. So she, Karen Phelps, has had a long public profile. For about 20 years, she's been very active. She's a local GP. So really where she first came to light publicly was when she's very involved as president first of New South Wales and then federally of the Australian Medical Association, so the AMA. She's been very vocal in that area for a long time. Of course, then she sort of went into a political career. She's a City of Sydney councillor. And so obviously got there because of her public profile. She's very well known around the Wentworth, particularly Double Bay areas, because that's where she's had her GP practice for 2 decades, I think. And she's been very vocal for a long time on lots of issues, particularly offshore detention of children. She's also very strong, although increasingly since the Wentworth by-election, but she's always known, made her position clear on climate change. And I think she is definitely very well known in Wentworth, which of course Dave Sharma isn't, because he doesn't come from Wentworth. In fact, he hasn't lived in Australia for the last 4 years, only got back late last year. So, you know, as a local high-profile candidate, she was always going to start well and start strongly just for that reason.
But Karen's a bit of a funny candidate in a way, because I think she's sort of a bit wasted as an independent. And I'm not sure she looks entirely comfortable sprouting some of the lines and arguments you hear from other independent candidates. Like, she's very impressive. She's got great experience. She's a pretty good communicator. But in a way, I think she would have been a much better candidate for one of the major parties, because she's exactly the type of candidate they need to attract. You know, a woman, someone with life experience outside politics, someone who understands the community and has lived in the community that they seek to represent for a long time. So I just think she's really the type of candidate the major parties need to win marginal seats. And if she doesn't win Wentworth, I think that's a shame, because she would have been a very, very good candidate for either major party, in my view.
Bevan, what are you hearing about how much money is being spent, particularly by the Liberals, in trying to hold this seat?
Well, we've been told, and Alex has reported, that the Liberal Party will spend up to $1 million. Now, for a seat with a huge margin like Wentworth, a 17.7% margin or something like that, that's an extraordinary amount of money. And it's money the Liberal Party really can't afford to spend so close to a general election. The Liberal Party has got major problems with its ability to fundraise. There's a structural issue there where they're having issues with donors. They can't keep up with the huge amount of money that the union movement funnels to Labor. They can't keep up with the enormous rise of third-party activist groups who spend huge amounts of money. So for them to have to cough up so much cash on retaining a really safe seat so close to a general election, where they're going to need every dollar, really, really grates with a lot of senior people in the party.
The one thing that is interesting, though, yeah, they are spending a huge amount of money, but it's emerged that Dave Sharma is an incredible fundraiser, and he's been able to raise huge amounts of money. They are convinced, I'm not quite sure where their target is, where they are in towards their target, but they think by Saturday they will have raised $1 million. And he's been able to get huge, huge donations from, you know, the big end of town that the Liberals haven't been able to tap into. And I think, you know, so that's obviously how they're paying for Wentworth.
And if he won, presumably then he would be freed up a little to go and fundraise a huge amount more money that could be distributed elsewhere in the party.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would, if he doesn't win, I have no doubt that they'll run him again at the general election. But I think he'll be key to their financial woes, because he has been able to get the very wealthy Jewish community, you know, all sorts of. He had two fundraisers in a week where in one night where he raised $200,000. I mean, the Liberal Party can't do that usually. It's been incredible.
Is there any polling? Do we have any idea what's going to happen on the weekend?
There's some polling around today, leaked Liberal Party polling, that suggests Phelps is going to get there. Phelps is, you know, on a two-party preferred basis, it would be 55-45 to Phelps. But, you can't really, how much can you trust internal leaked party polling? Because, of course, we know that the Liberals would want to be sending the message to Wentworth voters, spooking them and saying, look, we could lose this. We could Liberals could lose Wentworth. So you do have to take, I think, that sort of polling with a grain of salt. Although I think it does. I think there's no doubt that it is incredibly close. I think it is neck and neck. And, you know, polling earlier in the campaign by the activist group GetUp showed that climate change is the most important policy issue for Wentworth voters. I think that's very true. And it's been difficult for Dave Sharma because of the coalition's position on climate change to really strongly argue his position, whereas it's given Karen Phelps and the other candidates too, but definitely Karen Phelps, a great opportunity to really be vocal on a really important issue.
So, Bevan, the coalition are not just throwing money, are they? They are throwing policies. We're just going to take a listen to something Dave Sharma had to say about a very surprising announcement from the Morrison government this week.
The opposition has just accused the government of posturing to the Jewish voters here in Wentworth ahead of the by-election. What's your response to that?
Well, look, I disagree. I mean, I don't think any voters here are single-issue voters in Wentworth. I think they're going to vote on any number of issues.
How's the timing, though? I mean, 12.5% of the voters here are Jewish, and 5 days out from a huge by-election, all of a sudden the Prime Minister's tinkering with foreign policy. Do you not think that...
Well, we can't control when these votes come up in the UN General Assembly. I mean, that's not set by us. That's set by the UN and the UN Secretariat.
Bevan, this week Scott Morrison made an incredible announcement about his willingness to consider following Donald Trump down the path of moving the Australian embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That is quite a manoeuvre a few days before the Wentworth by-election, isn't it?
It was amazing. And it was a real jaw on the floor moment down here in Canberra. People couldn't believe it. Now, the PM argues that the timing of this had nothing to do with the Wentworth by-election. He argues there was an important vote coming up in the United Nations, and he needed to outline Australia's position prior to that vote. But at the same time, he also has gone to great pains to credit Dave Sharma for influencing his thinking on this. So, you know, people can make up their own mind, but Labor, the opposition, is fuming about this and thinks it's absolutely a reach for votes. And I've got to say, a few very senior members of the government think the same.
Bevan, I was just wondering, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I also think that perhaps the reason Morrison was so keen to do this was because there's a lot of talk that, you know, from the Liberals, that Dave Sharma is prime ministerial material. You know, he is their big, great hope. And I wonder if Morrison's trying to set him up to be seen as somebody who is already influencing foreign policy. Because, I mean, the vote, while the Jewish vote in Wentworth is big, you know, 12%,
Surely they were already going to vote for Dave Sharma
anyway. That's right. So I wonder if, you know, this is also about sort of saying to the voters in Wentworth, see, we told you already, he's not even in Parliament and he's influencing foreign affairs. This is how impressive this potential MP is. So don't let us lose him. Like, let's get him into Wentworth. And I just wonder if that's part of it.
Well, we'll be hearing
it's a really good question because the voters of Wentworth have been used to having a voice at the cabinet table, a voice in the decision-making for many, many years. So that's a really good question. And people like knowing that their local MP is sitting there in cabinet making big decisions. And you're right, people have already said, at the very least, if he's not prime minister material, he's cabinet material in any kind of refresh of the government.
The other big policy issue that the government have tied themselves in knots over in the last fortnight relates to religious freedom. So the Religious Freedom Report, which was commissioned in the wake of the marriage equality vote, was delivered to the government in May, and the government has been sitting on it ever since then. And last week, the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age obtained some of the recommendations of that report. And all hell broke loose, didn't it, Bevan?
that's an understatement. It did. It was really the last thing they wanted. They did not want this out before the by-election. They didn't want to open that Pandora's box. It wasn't just because the report touched on issues that were really important to Wentworth voters, particularly gay rights and discrimination, but because it again highlighted this, the deep disunity within the government. People on all sides of the government were out there making their own arguments about whether the report's recommendations were good or bad. We've seen Scott Morrison respond very swiftly to that and promise legislative changes to end religious schools being able to discriminate against gay students. But this issue of disunity and is, I think, a really underappreciated element of Wentworth. And to have Scott Morrison go to Wentworth and say, you have to vote for Dave Sharma because if you don't, we'll have a hung parliament and that's bad for stability. I mean, to mount an argument about the Liberal Party providing stability in Wentworth of all seats is pretty extraordinary and pretty tone deaf, really.
Again, just on Dave Sharma being able to influence debate already, I was really surprised. So the morning after that story broke, when it was on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, did a press conference in Wentworth with Dave Sharma. And of course, you know, I assume that Dave Sharma knew that he was going to be asked on about this the leaked Ruddock report. But given he, like I said, he'd been kept on such a tight leash by the Liberal Party, really unable to speak out beyond any talking points, he was very strong on his position that he would in no way support anything that discriminated against gay students, and then also went on to say, of course, the hiring or firing of gay teachers. And I think that certainly surprised me, because throughout the campaign I haven't seen him say anything very strong on anything. But then again, he was seen to be able to be taking quite a strong stance. And again, he's made it very clear several times that he spoke to Scott Morrison about this, voiced his concerns, again, sort of playing that issue of already his influence in Cabinet.
Well, both of you have got a huge weekend of work ahead of
you.
Thanks so much for joining me on the pod.
Thanks, Tori.
Thanks, Tori.
The people of Wentworth have a lot of power in their hands this Saturday. They also have a lot to say. Producer Declan Bowring got down to the Sydney Morning Herald's candidates debate at the Bondi Surf Club this week and spoke to some of the voters who turned up.
Wentworth. It sits between the golden sands of Bondi Beach, the mansions of Vaucluse, and the terraced houses of Sydney's eastern suburbs. It's one of those areas in Sydney where not everyone is wealthy, but a lot of people are. We've come to the Bondi Surf Club for a debate between the candidates. It's midday on a Monday, so that tells you a little bit about the sample of people here today. It's also raining. We want to hear what people's priorities are when it comes to the vote.
Number one, the current policies of the detainees at Nauru and Manus Island. Secondly, the policies about education equality and the lack of equality for public school students. Number three, the environment. And certainly number four, the ousting of our previous local member, the Prime Minister.
You might be able to hear protesters in the background there. That's GetUp. They're a progressive lobby group. Like a lot of people, they've descended on the electorate, trying to swing it. After more than a century as a safe Liberal seat, it could be up for grabs. From a few chats outside the venue, a couple of issues keep coming up.
My voting priorities is around supporting action on climate change.
Climate change that's happening and the refusal of the current government members to accept the science.
Karen Phelps, because of climate change, lives in the electorate, community base. I think has very strong record of integrity and health policy. And children in Nauru.
The other topic that keeps coming up is Malcolm Turnbull. It's a real flashpoint. He was really well liked here. He was socially progressive, a successful businessman, and he grew up in the area. His dumping by the Liberal Party has not gone down well in Wentworth.
I was a big supporter of Malcolm Turnbull. Very unhappy with what happened to Malcolm.
I won't be voting for the current Liberal National candidate. I want to send a message to the current administration that with their lack of policy on climate change is driving me, and the way that our previous Prime Minister was turfed out was pretty degrading.
Dave Sharma was quick to address this sentiment at the start of the debate.
Now, I know people are fatigued and frustrated with the conduct of national politics now going back over several years, and I share that frustration as well. And one of the reasons I'm getting involved is to try and do my bit to make things better and to refocus the national debate and the national parliament.
The debate goes on for an hour and covers a lot of ground.
And what I've tried to do during this campaign, despite personal attacks and despite dirty tricks and despite whatever's been thrown at me, is to continue to rise above that and focus on the issues. Climate action, banning live sheep exports, a national integrity commission.
Pressure from political donors keeps the major parties from retaining any leader who offers progress on emissions reduction. This is unacceptable.
Because Wentworth deserves a strong local to stand for the socially progressive people of Wentworth.
As people flood out back into the grisly weather, I asked them if anything they've heard today had cemented which box they would tick on Saturday.
Well, I think it's left me impressed with the mutterings of all the candidates who are here today, but I remain sceptical about the ability of those who belong to major parties to actually achieve anything in their party rooms.
So I've traditionally been a Conservative voter all of my life, and I came along today to hear what David Sharma had to say. I'm not familiar with him and I don't know him, so at this point I listened intently and still undecided which way I'll vote.
Peter Harcher here, political and international editor of the Sydney Morning Herald. In an era of fake news and shifting global power, it's critical that your news is genuine and independent. Our reporters in Asia, Europe and the US work hard to report global stories and how they affect our region. Independent reporting on the ground is crucial to the integrity of our coverage, which we could not do without our subscribers. Support news you can trust and subscribe today.
Scott Morrison indicated this week he would consider following Donald Trump's lead and relocate the Australian embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. A provocative move, apparently on the advice of Wentworth candidate and former Australian ambassador to Israel, Dave Sharma. Lydia Khalil is an expert in Middle East politics and a fellow of the Lowy Institute. Lydia, what would a move like this mean?
Hi, Tori. Well, this announcement by Morrison, or consideration of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, is what happens when domestic politics and international relations intersect. So the implications of a potential move are a few. One of them is that a move like this by Morrison probably wouldn't have even been considered if it wasn't for the previous move by the U.S. Trump administration to do so. Before President Trump announced and implemented the move of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the international consensus had been that no such decision like this will be made until a solution between the Arabs and the Israelis is made. There's a final peace settlement and a potential two-state solution. The Trump administration upended this international consensus, and I think that gave the room for Morrison and others to consider what other countries like Australia might do. To move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, it's a position that's been advocated many, many years by Israeli governments and by Jewish interest groups in different countries around the world. So there's nothing new to this idea. This is a longstanding position of many.
So when the Americans did move their embassy, what happened?
Well, the worst case predictions were that this would cause additional violence and that it would completely upend any potential for the negotiations on a two-state solution for Arab-Israeli peace to go forward. Now, the worst case predictions didn't come to fruition in terms of violence, but we did see some pushback of it. There were protests over the summer along Gaza. There was a violence along that. So that was an unfortunate effect of it. However, it really served, I think, to solidify the fact that there has been and there is no foreseeable movement in any future negotiations. At this point, they had been stalled for many years, and this move had kind of served to solidify that stalling. It didn't provide any momentum for going forward. There's no incentives now on the Israeli part now that they got this key interest recognized. So it's really served to stall negotiations on a peace deal, and it has the potential for fomenting additional violence in the region.
So Scott Morrison's language around this was sort of non-committal. He said he would consider the move. But where does even raising this as something that Australia would look at doing place us in the rest of the world? I mean, the Americans are the only ones who have made the move. Is anyone else making any noises that they would do this?
As far as I can tell, no. It's really unfortunate how this announcement or the consideration of moving the Australian embassy kind of came about. It really showed, in my mind, a lack of political maturity and a lack of understanding of all of the potential ramifications this would have. It wasn't just about, you know, trying to satisfy a constituency in a very tightly held race in a crucial by-election. This is going to have ramifications for Australia's international relationships around the world. Already we've seen Indonesia say that they're going to reconsider a trade deal with Australia because of this. So it showed to me kind of a lack of understanding of how even just floating the potential for this idea could have on other Australian international relationships. It also, too, kind of bolsters this idea that Australia overwhelmingly drives its foreign policy and national security policies through the Australia-US alliance relationship. That's been a criticism that's been leveled among people in Australia before. And so that, to me, that bolsters that that criticism. Now, the alliance is critically important, but Australia does have other considerations and other international relationships that it has to take into account as well. So those are some of the immediate ramifications for Australia, with Morrison saying that he would even consider that move.
Lydia, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
Thanks to all our guests for this episode, Alexandra Smith, Bevan Shields and Lydia Khalil. Please Explain is brought to you by the newsrooms of The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. Support the work we do. Our subscribers get unlimited access to award-winning, independent journalism, plus exclusive behind-the-scenes stories you can't get anywhere else. Follow the link in our show bio to subscribe today. This episode was produced by Rachel Dexter and David Escort, reporting by Declan Bowring, technical assistance from David McMillan and Cormac Lally, and Tom McKendrick is our head of audio. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.